sindo dina vando jagatpate gopesha gopika kanta radha kanta namostute tapta kanchena gorangi radhe vrindavane shri vrishuvanu suta devi pranamami hari priye vanchakapa truvyascha kripa sindubhyevacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shadvaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. I'm going to read from the Bhagavad Gita as it is, the 7th chapter, Knowledge of the Absolute, text number 28. Yesham twantakatam papam janhanam punyakarmanam te dvanva mohe nirmukta vajante mam dridavrata. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Persons who have acted piously in previous lives and in this life, and whose sinful actions are completely eradicated, are free from the dualities of delusion and engage themselves in my service with determination. Please repeat. Persons who have acted piously in previous lives and in this life, and whose sinful actions are completely eradicated, are free from the dualities of delusion, and thus engage themselves in my service with determination. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Those eligible for elevation to the transcendental position are mentioned in this verse. For those who are sinful, atheistic, foolish, and deceitful, it is very difficult to transcend the duality of desire and hate. Only those who have passed their lives in practicing the regulative principles of religion, who have acted piously, and who have conquered sinful reactions, can accept devotional service and gradually rise to the pure knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then gradually they can meditate in trance on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the process of being situated on the spiritual platform. This elevation is possible in Krishna consciousness in the association of pure devotees. For in the association of great devotees, one can be delivered from delusion. As stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam 5.5.2, that if one actually wants to be liberated, he must render service to the devotees. Mahat Sevam Dwaram Ahar Vimukte. But one who associates with materialistic people is on the path leading to the darkest region of existence. Tamo Dwaram Yoshitam Sangi Sangam. All the devotees of the Lord transverse this earth just to recover the conditioned souls from their delusion. The impersonalists do not know that forgetting their constitutional position as subordinate to the Supreme Lord is the greatest violation of God's law. Unless one is reinstated in his own constitutional position, it is not possible to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead or to be fully engaged in his transcendent loving service with determination. Text 28 again. Yesham twantakatam papam shananam punyakarmanam te dvandva moha niramukta bhajante mam drida vrataha. Persons who have acted piously in previous lives and in this life, and whose sinful actions are completely eradicated, are freed from the dualities of delusion, and they engage themselves in my service with determination. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutaye Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tinamane Namaste Saraswatam Deve Gauravani Vajarne Nirvishesha Shunivadi Paskatya Devasatarne. In this chapter, Krishna had previously explained Namam Diskritina Muda Prapadyante Naradama Maya Pritigyanam Asram Bhavam Ashitya, that there are certain persons who are not interested in the process of devotional service, namely those who are called mudhas. Mudha means that they believe that if they work hard, they can enjoy this material world. This is the same category as the shudras, impious shudras. Not very much intelligence, but a great desire to enjoy through this material body and mind, and through the process of working hard and enjoying sense gratification. So they're considered to be sinful, or here it says actually foolish. So foolish people, those who cannot understand what is the purpose of life, it is very difficult for them to take to any spiritual path because they have no consciousness beyond the material. This is the mode of ignorance. And for those who are sinful, they have a little knowledge, but they've developed a methodology of gratifying their senses in a sophisticated way, but they have no real faith in anything spiritual. Namely, the Naradamas. There are different definitions given by our acharyas who the Naradamas are, or the sinful people. That such Naradamas are persons who began the process of devotional service but later gave it up. Generally speaking, persons take to the process of devotional service out of distress, and when their distress is finished, then they go back to enjoy the material world again. They don't take to devotional service in order to go back to the spiritual world. They take to devotional service to relieve themselves of the sinful reactions, because distress is one of the reactions to acting sinfully. The kleshas, they're called. The first klesha is avidya, ignorance. We don't know Krishna, and we don't know who we are. Therefore, asmita, we take to this bodily identification. Then comes rag and dvesha, attachment, aversion, lust, and anger, which afflict the living entity, the soul. And then finally, abhinivesha, absorption of material consciousness and always fearful of death. Bhayam dvitiya, binivesha syad, isharapatasya vipario smriti, tanmayatayo, budabhajetatvam, bhaktiyaikayesham, guru devatatma. As soon as one is absorbed in this material body, the material concept of life, then certainly there's bhayam, fearfulness, due to the fact that we think at the annihilation of this body, I, the soul within the body, will also be annihilated. This is all misery. The ignorance is miserable. The false ego is miserable. The attachments and aversions are miserable. And the absorption and fear of death is also miserable. Klesha dikataras te sham. And even the process of getting out of the misery by an indirect process is also miserable. Avyakta sakta chetasam. Avyakta hikutera dukam dehavadvir avapyate. Therefore, those who take to the process of devotional service but give it up to enjoy sense gratification, they're called Naradamas, and they certainly will act sinfully again. And those who create, in other words, from our lust, one is absorbed in this bodily identification, wanting to gratify the senses, certainly there'll be frustration or anger. And from that anger, Krishna says, all varieties of consciousness, delusion comes. In other words, if we act on the gross platform of lust and anger and greed, then the subtle platform of delusion, envy, and madness will surely manifest themselves also. There are gross activities affect the subtle mind. So those who have become involved in the material sense gratification, they create philosophies where they deny the existence of God, they deny the existence of soul, or they think that everyone is God. They create so many concocted philosophies. Those who are sinful, they have their philosophy. Those who are foolish, they have their philosophy. And those who are sinful and foolish, they also create a philosophy. They're the Maya Pritijnanas. They have their knowledge. Any real knowledge has been stolen by illusion, although they apparently have some mundane knowledge. So they're considered deceitful because their whole philosophy, although however sophisticated it is, has no basis in the reality or the truth. And then there's the atheistic, the Maya Pritijnanas, and the Asuram Bhavam Ashrityas. After becoming absorbed in illusion and madness, one certainly becomes envious because one suffers more and more and one decries the existence of God, the Asuram Bhavam Ashrityas. So they're considered here to be atheistic. In other words, sinful life, foolish life, deceitful life certainly leads to atheistic life also. Indeed, practically the whole modern society is atheistic, although they claim they're God-conscious, and they even go to some kind of church, but they decry the existence of God in the practical life. They don't follow his commandments. They don't want to hear any real knowledge about him. They just have some sentimental idea that if we go to church, if there is something like a God, he'll protect us from the reactions of our sinful activities. The beginning of transcendental life is regulation. The Vedas begin, or as they'll say in the 16th chapter, Yakshastrim vidim utsrija vartate kamakarata asasidim avapnoti nasukam naparam gitim. That those who are rejecting the injunctions of the scriptures, and here it mentions the scriptures basically regulate our sense gratification. Tridibida narakasyedam dwaranashantam atmanaha kamakrota tatalovas tasmat etam trayam tyajet. That lust, anger, and greed, they're the three gates that lead to hell, that every sane man should become free from them because they lead to degradation of the self. And Krishna says, Tasma tvam indriyanya do niyamya bharatarshiva patmanam prajahi enam jnana vijnana nashanam. Therefore, in the very beginning, Arjuna, regulate the senses and slay this destroyer of knowledge and self-realization. In other words, although eating, sleeping, mating, defending are not the purpose of life, still they're necessities of life as long as we're in conditioned life. And therefore, the Vedas regulate them. Even for those in the mode of goodness, there is some regulation. One is advised to take a goat, bring it up to a mountain, whisper in the new moon night when there is no moon, whisper into its ear, now I'm going to cut your throat. But don't worry, because in the future, I'll become a goat, and you'll become a human being, and then you can cut my throat. Certainly, this is in the mode of ignorance, eating goats, cutting their throat. But chanting this mantra after some time, the person will realize it's not a good idea to cut throats. Because after all, now I am a human being cutting a goat's throat, but I've cut so many goats' throats and I'll have to become a goat so many times. So what is the value just for a goat burger? Therefore, after some time, one will give it up and one will, with a little purification that takes place, will become interested in higher parts of the Vedas, which recommend other types of activities like elevation to heavenly planets, getting material wealth, etc. And by practicing those injunctions or paying a priest who practices such injunctions, one will certainly get the results. One will get health, one will get some wealth, one will get elevation, and so many materialistic ways, and therefore faith in the Vedas will grow, and one will become interested in other parts of the Vedas that promise future births in heavenly planets, which are more or less within such understanding, implicitly implies reincarnation. Because if you're going to go to a heavenly planet after leaving this body, it means that you're the soul and you leave this body and get a body of a demigod. So it implies implicitly that there is another birth after this birth. So again, some more elevation and knowledge, although the idea is fruitive, but one is gradually progressing. Then one comes to the point of realizing that even the heavenly planets, there are so many problems. Indra is cursed many times. He has to go inside a lotus flower for thousands of years of the demigods. Sometimes he becomes a pig on this planet. The demigods are sometimes crushed under the feet of big asuras like Vritrasura. In so many ways, the demigods are in difficulty. Therefore, one thinks, why become a demigod? Go through all the difficulty. Maybe there's something higher. And one eventually comes even past Brahmaloka to the Upanishads, which recommend to merge in Brahman. Therefore, it is very clear that we're spiritual souls. We're apart from the body. We don't need the body, but we can exist apart from it eternally. And then, if one is very fortunate, by good association, one will not only understand I'm not the body, but the soul has an identity, a spiritual identity, in relation with the Supreme Person, and therefore one begins the process of devotional service and eventually rises up to the platform of meditation and trance on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishne, Swadharma, Bhagavate, Gyana Dhamma, Chapi Saha, Kalo Nashta Drishamesha Purarna Ko Dunoditaha. That the Srimad Bhagavatam is risen just like the sun. And when Krishna left the planet, along with knowledge and religion, this Bhagavatam came and is giving light. In other words, for those who are truly fortunate, they can hear the whole philosophy presented in the Bhagavatam, plus the ultimate goal of the Bhagavatam, the ultimate goal of all the Vedic philosophy, namely to develop the devotional service. So in the association of devotees, one can transcend or surpass all the different processes of Vedic injunctions. As Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Vedeshu jagneshu tapasu chaiva daneshu yat punya palam prativyam adyeti tat sarvamidam viditva yogi param stanam apaiti chadyam. That those who take to the process of devotional service, Vedeshu, the study of the Vedas, Jagneshu, and sacrifice, Daneshu, giving in charity, Vedeshu, Jagneshu, Daneshu, Chaiva. I think that's actually at the end of this chapter. No, it's the end of the 8th chapter. Vedeshu, Jagneshu, Tapasu, Chaiva, the different sacrifices, Daneshu, giving in charity, Daneshu, Yat Punya Palam, Prativyam, and all their different good results that come from them. Adyeti Tatsaram Idam Viditva, one who knows the actual purpose of the Vedas, Yogi Param Stanam Upaiti Chadyam, namely devotional service. He gets all the results, and at the end, he goes back to the spiritual world. In other words, if one takes immediately to the process of devotional service, which also includes regulation of the senses, it's not that if one is a devotee, he's free to gratify the senses as much as possible. It implies also that there is a regulation of the senses. But because of the superior taste of one is practicing devotional service, sense gratification is not seen as all in all. Therefore, one can regulate the senses. And one can perform activities in the mode of goodness. Regulate the senses in the mode of goodness, and then cultivate spiritual knowledge. Because only if one is in the mode of goodness does spiritual knowledge make any sense. One can cultivate it. Study these Prabhupada's books, try to apply them within our life, and then one can actually become aware of Krishna and focus the mind upon Krishna and meditate entranced upon his name, form, quality, and pastimes. So this is the purpose of the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, to transcend all kinds of materialistic consciousness and come to the platform of direct awareness of Krishna, and therefore help us to perform all the essence of all the Vedic activities, namely utilizing all the senses we have, the working, the active senses, the knowledge-acquiring senses, including the mind in Krishna's service, understanding Krishna perfectly, and then rising up to the platform of developing our original awareness and love for Krishna. And this is possible only in the association of devotees, as Prabhupada explains here, that prasat sangha, how is that again? Sangha, how does that verse go? In the association of devotees, that one sitam prasangam mamavirya samvido bhavanti yat karna sitam prasangam mamavirya samvido bhavanti rit karna rasayanam katha tajoshvarashva vargavartmani shararitira bhaktir anukramishyati. So in the association of the devotees, sitam, so the sitam is a devotee, prasanga, and the close association of them, mama virya samvido, one is certainly talking about Krishna's glories. Satam prasanga mama virya samvido bhavanti. So bhavanti means to become. Bhavanti rit, the heart, and karna, the ear. Rasayana becomes just like nectar, which brings back to life the soul. Rasayana, because it's full of spiritual pleasure. Katha. So these topics about Krishna discussed in the association of devotees, the glorification of utilizing our energies to please Krishna in devotional service, after a while, as the heart becomes cleansed, it becomes pleasing to the heart and to the ear. Then, tajoshvara shvavargavartmani, very easily one achieves liberation from the material concept of life. Shara, and then real faith develops. Ratir, real attachment to Krishna, and eventually bhakti, love for Krishna, develops. Therefore, this simple process of coming to the temple, hearing about Krishna, and then applying it within our lives, especially by chanting Hare Krishna, worshipping the deities, reading about Krishna, and Srimad Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, serving the devotees and making the atmosphere spiritual by dedicating the energies we have in Krishna's service, certainly this will be effective in bringing us to the highest perfection of consciousness and of existence. So this is what Krishna is recommending here. That the most pious activity, of course, is the performance of devotional service. One may perform pious activities, but they're only of value if they help bring one eventually to the platform of devotion. And one should give up sinful activities. That will free us from delusion, so we can understand we're Krishna's servants. We're not supposed to be servants of the material consciousness, of the material pushings. Then one can engage in Krishna's service with full determination, not being deviated by the illusory energy. It's called nishta. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Okay, we'll stop there. Thank you very much. Grantharaj, Shrimad Bhagavad Gita, Kija.